The following presentation was recorded at Faith Builders. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
And encourage each other. We live in a day when there are many seminars, many institutes, retreats, getaways, programs, packages you can send for, and speakers to bring in. It's very common to go somewhere and learn something from somebody else. All those things have their place, including this weekend. This is one of these times when, except for those few of you who are in your home setting here at Faith Builders, this is a time when we went somewhere to share together or to learn. Now, that's all very well and good, but our thought here is, how can we do this at home on a regular basis? Life is really very daily. Have you discovered that yet? Life is very daily. It's very routine. And we rub shoulders with the same people day after day. We have pretty much the same kind of work day after day. And sometimes it seems that, well, if we can go off and learn something from somebody else, somewhere else, maybe I would find some answers, maybe I would find some help. But, well, at home, well, it's just me or it's just us. And I'd like us to think about to challenge us a bit with what we can do at home. It's really, the foundational institution in this world is the family. God instituted the family. And as we work in our daily work, really the foundational place we work is at home and in our home schools, our home communities. So how can we stimulate and encourage each other? It's important to have a proper balance between doing our own work and seeking to learn from others or to interact with others, but we need to do both. I believe the primary thought that's implied or embedded in this whole lesson today is the body principle. The body principle. The teaching that we are members one of another and that none of us is alone. Now, there's something very basic that most men understand about that. John Donne, I believe it was, wrote that no man is an island entire of himself, and we need each other. And that is a truth, is borne out in the scripture, that we need one another. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, looking at the marginal references there in my Bible, it says that the evidence of the Spirit is given to every man to profit everybody. It's an interesting thought that when God gives us anything, it isn't for ourselves alone, but it's also for others. And we all know that if part of our physical body stops functioning, it will die. Gangrene will set in. And if it isn't taken care of, the whole body will die. Now, the Bible says that there is a body of Christ. And it says very clearly that the church is the body, and we need to take this seriously in our everyday life. There is something to receive from others, and there's something to share with others. And we have no more right to keep everything God gives us to ourselves in just as we have to give money or give charity in physical ways, we also should be sharing thoughts, prayers, concerns, counsel, advice, and asking that from others because God does work through others. So as we think of encouraging each other, we think of ways at home that we can encourage, that we can stimulate, edify, and interact with each other, fellow teachers, parents, other adults. I'm primarily thinking of co-teachers as we work together in the school. Now, if you are by yourself in a one-room school, then to do this, you need to make it a point to find a way to share with another teacher. We really can help each other. I'd like to talk about some purposes of, by the way, the word edify is a fascinating word. It really means to build up, to build an edifice. An edifice is a building, a structure. And we are to edify one another. We are to help to build one another. Some of the building materials that you need in your daily life will come from other people. They'll have something to contribute. And also, you may have something that the other person needs. You may have played a game like that already, where it's one of those games where you learn to work together, where you put people in little groups, three in a group here, three in a group here, and three in a group here, and each one has a little puzzle to put together. But you've got a couple pieces that don't fit in your puzzle, and furthermore, you're missing a few pieces that your puzzle needs. And furthermore, everybody in the whole room has that experience. Every group has that experience. And so you work together as a little group, and you find out that, we have all the pieces in, but here's some extras. And sooner or later, it sinks in that, oh, maybe somebody else needs these pieces. And maybe somebody else has the pieces I need. And eventually, the little groups start to connect with each other and say, oh, does anybody? Yes, we need that. And, oh, do you need this? Yes, I need this. And then we find out that together we have what we need to do the work. It's an interesting illustration of how there are times when the wisdom that you're going to need for your work this month or this week, some of that wisdom God may choose to give to you through a fellow teacher. Maybe there's no other way that you'll get it. And furthermore, maybe that fellow teacher needs some help from you that she'll or he will get in no other way. Now, God can choose, he could choose, to give every one of us what we need individually. But that's not his way. He is, the Trinity is a unity, and his body is a body. And parts of our body do not function alone. In fact, we would consider that to be quite almost grotesque for one limb of the body to be able to live by itself. That's unthinkable. The body has to function as a whole. And so it's really unthinkable for members of the body. And when two or three of us are assigned to be teachers in a school, why, we are a small part of that body, and there's a certain sense in which we're going to need each other. We're going to need to share together. So there are some purposes of working together. One of them is, one of the ways in which we can help each other is to sharpen, to whet. I'm thinking of whetting the knife to keep it sharp, to maintain the effectiveness. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend, it says in Proverbs 27:17. And so simply sharing, talking with our friends, our fellow teachers, especially in areas related to teaching, it helps us to keep that cutting edge, that freshness. We can also counsel with one another. Again, in Proverbs 24, it says, through wisdom is a house built, by understanding it's established. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all present, pleasant and precious riches. It's interesting, as we think of building a life, working with children, we think of that sequence. There is wisdom, there is understanding, there is knowledge, and we need to have something to give them. We need to have wisdom ourselves to give that. It ends up by saying, for by wise counsel you shall make your war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. And so we can receive counsel from others, through others. Especially if it's an area of concern and we pray together, there's that promise that two or three are gathered and pray. And also God has promised that he will honor the request of several. So there's a special power when teachers share with each other in a genuine way to find counsel for the difficulties they face, for the things they're not sure how to do. Another area is we can actually help develop each other. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend will give you faithful wounds. A fellow teacher can sometimes see things you are doing that won't work. Or he may have a suggestion of maybe you ought to try this. Or are you aware of what your tone of voice is like when you speak to your children when they're lining up to come in from the playground? Just there are different ways like that. Sometimes a fellow teacher can tell us, can give us a wound, if you will, that students can't. And so we can, if we want to open our hearts to our fellow teachers, we can receive some that way, some help that way. Now, we can also, as we share with other teachers, we can receive with, from, and through the body. I'm thinking now of, the body principle, but we have this, the thought is that as we counsel with other teachers, share with other teachers, pray with other teachers, we together as a group, the faculty, whether it's a pair of us or three of us, we can receive from God, we can receive counsel, encouragement with the other teacher. God may give us an answer, may give us help together. Now, my little circle's there to suggest that as a group, we teachers can receive. I can receive with him at the same time. I can also receive counsel or help or encouragement from another teacher, from the body, another teacher being part of the body. And then I might also receive through the body. That is, I'm not really trying to split hairs here, but simply to show that there's a breadth here. God will sometimes give answers, will give encouragement through another person. Now, he could do it directly, but when he gives it through another person, it has a way of binding us together and encouraging us to see each other as part of the body in a way that we wouldn't if we just got answers ourselves, could easily get answers ourselves all the time. Another purpose is to respect what is at hand. There's a fascinating passage in Exodus where Moses met God and he was given a responsibility and he wasn't too sure about this. And God said, well, what is that in your hand? And Moses threw down the rod, and God's direction, it became a serpent. Now, there's obviously a variety of lessons in there, but the thought here is that we mustn't think when we need understanding or advice, suggestions, counsel, encouragement, our first response shouldn't be to go off to a seminar, to go to the library and get a book, or to get some help from somebody else. Our first response should be to look at what is at hand. Who is next to you? Who is your fellow teacher? I'm not suggesting by any means that we're going to find all the answers through sitting down with other teachers and discussing it, but I am suggesting that if we honor the fact that God means what he says when they're if we are truly members of his body, he will work through that. Why, it's the old love at home principle. If we need to see and trust that God can give us direction ourselves, and there are other times than to ask other people and to go elsewhere, but let's be sure that we respect God's work in one another. Our fellow teachers, our board members, our own parents, in our own school. So what you could say is, God asked Moses, what's that in your hand? What was a shepherd's staff? Well, what's in our hand? He would probably tell us to use your own pencil, your own voice, the material that you have, ask Him to bless that. A last purpose here under why do we encourage each other in school? We sharpen the effectiveness, we counsel one another, we help each other develop, we receive together, we respect each other. And also it provides a unity. It's very easy. It's very easy for teachers in a school to feel, let me put it this way, if you're a teacher in a classroom, it's very easy for the classroom to be almost a separate school. And so we have one building with three schools in it. We have room one. There's a world. There's a teacher. They do their things. Over here's room two. There's a teacher. There's students. They do their things. And room three, there's a teacher. There's a room. And they do their things. And furthermore, it's a room of beginners, a room of middle grades, a room of upper grades. And we really don't have much to do with each. It wouldn't really make a whole lot of difference if these three teachers or three rooms were geographically separated by a mile or so, because they really don't have much interaction, much contact. Teachers come to school in the morning and move in their own spheres. They meet each other at the duplicating machine, and they are on good terms with one another. There's no problems between them. They enjoy working in the same school. But they really might not have a sense that they're working together in one school with a united effort, that they're a unit, that this is one school. And so if we make some effort to have one school, not three mini schools under one roof, we can really encourage one another. One of the favorite techniques of Satan is to divide and conquer, to disintegrate. And so if somehow he can make us feel very lonely. I'm alone in this, my room. And there's really no one to give me any answers for the questions I have. While the other teachers, we might not even think. We might not think of other teachers and decide not to ask them. We just don't think of asking other teachers, perhaps. And after all, I'm teaching the upper grades and they're teaching the lower grades, so they wouldn't really have the answers to my questions anyway. And so we really don't sometimes look for encouragement or advice or counsel from other teachers when we could. This is a possibility. So we want to work together for unity also. Well, how do we do these things? How do we go about it? I think this suggests some things to do are to, on occasion, with other teachers in your school or the other teacher, clarify, verbalize, that is, state some of your ideals, some of your hopes, some of your purposes, some of your goals, some things that you would like to accomplish, whether it's an approach to teaching a lesson, whether it's what you're doing in how you're approaching your next history unit. Simply talking out loud. Now, some people do a very good job talking out loud to themselves, and they find that that helps, because if you actually put it into words, it helps you to clarify what you're going to do. Now, some people don't want to do that for fear that what it represents, talking out loud to yourself. But simply clarifying your talking about what you want to do to other teachers, the very act of putting it into words and saying, well, now, in the next history unit, I think I want to approach something a little differently here. It just verbalizing that helps you to develop a picture, a vision of how you want to go about doing this. And this is something that you don't go off to a seminar somewhere to do. You do it at home. And so simply stating it, some ideals. Maybe that's something about the classroom atmosphere that just isn't quite so healthy, and you're not quite sure what approach to take to change this, something that you can talk about. And you know that sometimes one of the most important things to have is a listening ear, even if the other person doesn't say anything. And so And it's another teacher and you're in school is certainly much closer to your situation than other people are. And so don't be afraid to state these things. Talking about what you plan to do, what you're going to do, what you'd like to do, it does help accountability. You know, if in the first place, if you talk about what you'd like to do, it helps you to develop the vision, to develop ideas of how to do it. And also, it helps develop some accountability. The other teachers may very well ask, how's it going? Or how did that last unit work out? How's the project going that you're working on? Well, if you have some goal that you'd like to do but don't tell anybody, it's kind of easy to just let it fade away. See, if you don't make any statement, any commitment, or make anything public in a sense, why, you know that if you've told the teachers, next month we plan to do something different, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, they may very well ask you sometime, how's it going? How's it working out? Well, if somebody's going to be asking about it, why, you're more likely to keep at it than if this was just a little secret thing. I think I'll try this for a while, and then if it doesn't work out, well, I'll just stop. Nobody knew about it anyway. It helps to build accountability and helps to build some faith. It was Gideon, I believe, or one of those Old Testament characters that said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so it helps us sometimes to say, in my classroom the next month we're going to, and then you fill in the blank, whether it's we're going to gather, memorize this hymn for the month, or we're going to do this or improve that. If we come out and make a statement and give us something concrete to work towards, it can help. Maybe we need to introduce some new games to get out of a rut. Maybe we need to work on some behavior or some procedure, activity, whatever. Accountability helps to clarify what you want to do, makes you accountable to other teachers. It also brings support from others. Brings support from others. And an interesting experience you can share with teachers is to just each of you state something that you really would like to see different about your room. And pray about that. And then check up with each other a couple of weeks later. How's it going? Has there been a change? This kind of thing can encourage. It can also build faith as we see results. Another thing that we can share is, I alluded to this briefly, but plans, approaches, class, a unit, the way you want to approach a class. Maybe the last time you did this unit on weather, things didn't work out so well, and you want to do something different this time. Well, simply talking about this with other teachers, I'm not suggesting you talk about everything you do, but on occasion, sharing something can help us to, and they may very well have an idea, or they may raise a question that they say, how will you do this or how will that work out? You say, oh, well, I didn't think about that. Just simply sharing with another teacher about something you're planning to do can be enlightening and encouraging. Sharing procedures, activities, approaches to things. Another major area to share is problems that we face. Oftentimes, one of the biggest steps in solving a problem is focusing, getting clarity on the problem. Sometimes just the very act of dragging it out in the open and describing it to the other teachers can itself help us to see what we're going to have to do to solve that problem. Maybe it's a relationship problem or a clique or whatever kind of problem that we're facing. Focusing is a big part of the solution. And then also we can find support and understanding from the other teachers and counsel. Now, of course, this can be broadened too to parents and school board. I'm thinking primarily of teachers here because we're the ones who are in the building every day with one another, and we have that opportunity to share. Share things that you've done. I think that sharing with teachers should be a joyful experience, pleasant experience. I might have seemed to talk quite a bit about troubles and problems, but share results, share samples. Students have show and tell sometimes. I think that's a very good experience for students and probably something they should continue doing in older grades than they do. That's primarily what the Christian's life consists of, show and tell. You show and tell the works of God, what God has done through you, in your life, through your life. That's the essence of witnessing, isn't it? Well, I could talk quite a while about things that it's fun to do, things that we enjoy doing. I'd like to just share a few samples here with you. One of the times that we share is right after school. We never planned to do this, but most of us, as the children leave, there are three of us full-time in our school. When the children leave, why, we usually all end up there at the lobby door when they leave, seeing them off, and we just kind of in the same area there, and we often end up talking for a little while. And it's not unusual for one of us to have something to say or to go get something. Oh, you have to hear this, what somebody wrote, or go look at something that was done in an art class. Let me read you a few samples here. This particular, some of these had to do with poetry. We wrote some poetry, had some assignments related to that. The students were assigned to write three poems on the, actually what they did was brought in a photograph and then wrote a poem related to that photograph. And they were to write three poems, one in blank verse, one in rhymed and bound verse, one in free verse. And when you enjoy reading something as a student wrote, well, you can't just read it. You have to tell somebody else about it. And so, of course, you kind of have a captive audience with the other teachers there. And I have a captive audience right now, so I'll read a couple samples here to you. This is one of those called Evening. It was a photograph of a father sitting on a chair with a couple children on his lap, one on either side, and he was having a bedtime story with them. Evening. It's evening now, and all the work is done. The cows are milked and fed in time for bed. We ate what Mommy made for us, and then we helped her do the cleaning up. What fun! She said that we could play then for a while, and so we gathered up our trucks and blocks and made a farm with all the animals. We had much fun until Mom came again to say that it was time to take our bath. We didn't want to go, and so we took our time in cleaning up our many toys. So finally Dad came and picked us up, and then we had no choice but to obey. We fussed and cried and tried to change his mind, but in we went. And when once out, we saw that we were cleaner than a while ago. Then, joy of joys, Dad said he'd read to us. So down we went and clambered on his lap. We all sat down and he began to read a story that we'd heard so many times. But when he read the words to us again, it was as if the story was brand new. We love to hear our daddy read to us because he makes the story seem so real. And if he ever reads to us again, we'll try to do our best to be real good. Now, here's a free verse poem on the same picture. Story time. Warm, comfortable, happy. It's story time. We sit on daddy's knee and try to see the pictures in the book. He reads us many stories in an evening. And sometimes he gets tired before us. He reads us funny stories, scary stories, and sometimes sad ones. But no matter where we sit, and no matter what he reads, we like story time because it's with our daddy. Then another assignment was to make a list of ironic events. We talked about irony and children like to make lists. Here are some samples of ironic events. A snowplow gets stuck. A lifeboat sinks. The podiatrist stubs his toe. The School of Architecture collapses. A world-famous mountain climber falls down the steps. And another assignment was to write a little four-line poem suitable for hanging beside a clock. Man, as a clock, started once, keeping always perfect time with God. Another assignment was to write a short poem using one example of personification, one simile, and one metaphor. And here are three samples. A tree is like an umbrella when heaven opens up its windows and pours water on God's footstool. Second one. As I walked the other day, flowers smiled along the way. Breezes blew like angel wings, and the world was singing. Spring. And the last one, it's interesting. This last one was written by a boy who might have been one of the first times he wrote some poetry of any amount. Stars are God's tinker toys. He moves them around like little boys. Stars, why do you make no sound when you go round and round? And I have one more. This was an assignment that we give each year. This one was written by a 11th grade student. The Seafarer. It's in English literature, and it's a story of an old man who was tired, who was ready to leave the sea. And then a young man responds, and this young man hears everything the old man says about being tired of the sea, but he says, I'm ready to go anyway. I'll go out in the sea. Contrasts youthful ambition with the tiredness, in a sense, but the experience of the age. And so the assignment was simply to write, showing those two perspectives, so youth and the age, and you could pick your own subject. This was called the weed puller versus the youth. Dull is the tale that I tell of my weeding, of hot hours bending beneath the orange sun, where thistle and sawgrass grin up at me, saying, why do you labor? This job won't get done. As soon as you pull us, we'll pop up again. But still I pull onward, determined to beat them. I finish my row and look back with great pride. Oh, horrors! Already the greenheads are peeping, determined to spoil the job that I've just done. I stand, and I throw up my hands in despair. It's useless, this weed-pulling business, I scream. Oh, give me an ice pack to soothe my poor muscles, and let me be gone where no weeds ever grow. Now, it's interesting that this one was flipped, where this time the youth is the one who's discouraged. And the age says, oh, give me a garden that's smothered with weeds. How I love to destroy them and see what comes forth. The brown earth appearing and insects or crawling put mirth in my song and a joy in my work. What joy to rise early when day is just dawning, to go and attack those intrusive offenders, till all I have left in my garden so dear is plants bearing fruit and a path that's all clear. I scoff at the ice pack, the Tylenol too. My joints may be achy when I'm all through, but nevertheless, when the job is all done, the young ones admire the plot that I've finished, although they can't see how the work can be fun. Now, what I'm suggesting is that if you find a little tidbit, an answer to a question, or just a question a student asked that day, These are kinds of things, little gems to appreciate and to share with other teachers, perhaps in a very informal time. And when you share with each other, you can sometimes be stimulated. One of the secrets of learning as a teacher, new skills, new ideas, is to be alert to ideas you hear and to see how you could adapt that or apply that to your setting. And so you heard me read something here, and obviously some of these were written by upper grade students, but you can say, oh, how could, is there an idea there of something that I could do with my first graders, my fifth graders? And as we share things that we've done, that students have done, it does a number of things. It heightens our appreciation of our students and also helps us to get ideas of how things we could do ourselves and to share with others. Let me suggest a few settings in which teachers can share together. One is A morning devotion time. It's always a good idea to, as teachers in the same school, to spend a bit of time in the morning together, perhaps not every morning of the week. In our school, we do that 2 mornings out of 5, that we get together and have a short time of a song together and some devotional thoughts, prayer. And that's one time when you can share, and especially concerns, prayer concerns. And then I've already alluded to after-school chats. Some of the most interesting sharing is done if you don't plan it. You know how it is, you dismiss the meeting, and then it's when the real sharing happens. And so just informal sharing time with another teacher or other teachers. And then there are also meetings. Sometimes you have to plan for something in order for it to happen. So whether it's a formal meeting, you might say every 2 weeks we're going to sit down for half an hour in the afternoon, on a Monday afternoon, and we're going to discuss things, share things, whatever, business, that things we need to work on with the school, share ideas. And we might actually know what we're going to do when we get together in a more formal approach, or it might be somewhat informal, where we simply get together, and we don't really know what we're going to be sharing, but we'll have something to share. Something else that can be done is having teachers share when you've been to a seminar, when the teacher has read a book, that teacher can share, give a report to the other teachers. Doing that helps other teachers benefit from your experience, and it also helps you to gain more from your experience. Because you know very well that when you have students and they read the lesson, study the lesson, if they write a report on that, they learn more than if they just read it and put the book away. And so the same thing is true with teachers. If you have an experience learning, reading, whatever, and you share that with other teachers, they can benefit and you can benefit more. You might want to try spending an evening together during the year sometime. Pick an evening sometime during the year. Get together as teachers and have a teacher evening. And you might want to stay off of shop talk and spend an evening together as teachers, simply fellowshipping together. Or maybe you do want to spend some time talking about your teaching experience or sharing ideas, eating together, spending some time together in a social way. Another way we can learn from others is to visit. Visiting can be very enlightening. Visiting other schools, other classrooms, or other teachers. One of the things that is difficult to do, you may very well find yourself teaching in the same school with another teacher for 3, 4, 5 years and never having seen that person teach. Because, obviously, you're all in class. The bell rings and you all go to your own classes. And so you really never saw your co-teacher teach. Well, it might be interesting to have an opportunity to do that. To do that, it's going to take some managing. You're going to have somebody cover a class. But maybe it could be managed. And it might be instructive for both of you if you had the opportunity to see your fellow teacher teach. Visit another school and visit other teachers. And again, as you visit in other schools and other teachers, remember, everyone is different. Saul's armor was for Saul, David's weapons were David's, and so you are a different person. And so don't try to go back home and be another person, but you want to see what ideas, what thoughts, what approaches, how they can be adapted to your setting, to your school, to your classroom. What I'd like to do in the time we have left here, about 10 minutes, is that I'd like you to take a little time to do a bit of what I've just said with some of the people who are here. I'd like you to think of three things. First of all, what do you feel good about? What blessing are you seeing in this school year? What's something that's been successful? Maybe an assignment you gave that worked out all right. Maybe it was a writing assignment. Maybe it was a project that you did for a science class or history class. Maybe it was a new type of book report that you did. Something that worked. It might not have been new. It might have been something you've been doing all along that it just worked well. Some blessing, some success, something you feel good about this school year. You might also think about something that troubles you. Sometimes we live with some unanswered questions. We live with a stone in the shoe. Jesus would ask people sometimes, what troubles you? What would you have? And there is a blessing in sharing a trouble, a concern. Maybe there's a question you have. Maybe you live with a question, an unanswered question. I suppose we all live with a number of those. But maybe you have an unanswered question about your class, the way you're doing something in your room, or how to work with this particular slow student or whatever. So think in terms of something you feel good about, a question you have, something that troubles you, something you'd like to share. You show and tell, and obviously you probably didn't bring something along to read, but you might be able to talk about something. And what we'd like to do is take the rest of our time until the end of the period here and try a bit of what we've been talking about here, how you can encourage and stimulate each other. And what I'd like to do is, just as you're sitting in groups of probably about three or pairs, however, have a little conversation for the next 7 minutes. Just relax and have some conversation and talk about some things that you like about this year, some unanswered questions that you're living with. Try to clarify the question, state what that question is, and your partners may not have an answer for you, but the very act of clarifying that might help you, or maybe there's something that troubles you. So let's have a bit of a workshop here and do that right now, just where you're sitting.
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit christianlearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.